Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. I kind of had a thought about that parable about the sower and the seed and the soil, but God wants that done another time. So I got this thought on my mind tonight, studying this week, looking at the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar portion of Scripture. We've heard this a lot. Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor there in Timothy, trying to establish churches there in the region. And he'd write letters, and they would take these letters, and that's how they would start these churches. And then Paul would go somewhere else, and then the local pastors and the local churches all over that region to set up churches with doctrine and set up the leadership of the churches and the direction of the churches and to train people to work in these churches. Very important, isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And Paul said that 2,000 plus years ago. How far down the road do you think we've got? That word perilous means tribulation. It means torturous. It means tough. Paul says that in the last days perilous times shall come. It ain't going to get no better, dear people. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Selfies, selfies, selfies. "Lovers of their own selves. Covetous," that means greedy. Looking out for old number one. "Boasters," they brag and proud. "Blasphemers." "Disobedient to parents." "Unthankful, unholy." "Without natural affection." You know what natural affection is? That's an affection that a mother has for her child, or daddy has for his son or his daughters. That's natural affections. That's family affections. That's natural affections a man has for his wife and wife has. Natural affections that develop. He says, without natural affections, they're gonna leave all that. "Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." Amen. That's where we're at. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." He says, "From such turn away." You know what that means, having a form of godliness? If you've got a vase, it's got the form of a... have you ever seen these vases? They'll have a form of a K or something. You pour water in it, it'll take the form of that. There's people that got the form of a Christian. They've got the mannerisms down. But if a Christian is really saved by God's grace, there'll be some power behind that, the power to live right. There'll be power to persevere things. But denying the power thereof, "from such turn away." He says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women," and that ain't all women, "silly women laden with sins, laid away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." He says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses." They're never mentioned by name until Paul mentions them here to Timothy. Those two magicians that when Moses went in with his rod, they threw their rods down and they turned into serpents too. They did turn into serpents. So there is some power in the dark, in that dark stuff. We warned people about that. "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Folks, listen, there are people out here in this world, they ain't going to get saved. They're not going to get it. Everybody ain't going to get saved. It ain't God's intent, and God's not willing that any should perish. But dear people, there's people in my family, people in your family, people in our communities, people in this world, they're not going to get saved. God shows himself to them. God reveals himself to them. But they get to a place, they get to be reprobated in their minds, go their own way. And just like I said, the scripture Sunday morning, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." Just how God left Esau alone, God just leaves them alone and lets them go. That's sad right there. Ricky was praying and Ricky said, "I'm glad God didn't leave me alone. God went after him." I'm glad for that too, amen. God went after him because he loved him. And God drew him back in, and God knew what it took to get this man back to where he needed to get. And God knows what it takes to get you and I back. But there are some people, they're just determined to go the wrong way and do the wrong thing. And it don't make no difference how much you aggravate them and invite them and everything else. God's got to get a hold of their heart and mind. Amen. God's got to draw them in. "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest, shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, my thought tonight is right in that one verse right there in verse 6. For of those sort are they which creep into houses. And Jude, in that one chapter in the book of Jude, and Jude, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, writes, for there are certain men crept. He used the word crept, in unawares. That means they don't see it coming. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That's this crowd that says, well, you're saved and you can live any old way you want to live and everything's going to be fine as long as you made a profession and as long as you was dipped in some water. Now, you don't attend church and you've got no desire for God. You don't got the desire for the Word of God, but when you die someday, you're going to be all right. That's people that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's what that means. Somebody that's saved by God's grace, they're going to want to be in a fellowship with God's people. Amen? They're going to want to be in prayer. They're going to want to be where the Word of God is preached. They're going to have a desire for that. A newborn baby, when it's born, what's the first thing that baby wants by nature? You don't got to coach it. That baby wants milk. Don't it? It wants something to eat because it's been born. And a newborn Christian, a Christian, should have a desire for the Word of God, should have a desire for the fellowship of God. I've got problems, baby, with this crowd that says they love Jesus, but they don't attend the church. They're not involved in the Word of God. They don't have a prayer life. They don't love Jesus. Amen. That's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that word crept, Brother Jason. It means to sneak. It means to put something, sink into a garment. It means to slip up on. And the devil is very wily, isn't he? And the devil's not going to come in here, listen, and bring a black book with an upside down cross on it and looking all wicked and stand up and say, you're going to worship the devil. That ain't what the devil's going to do. He's much more wily than that. He's much more craftier than that. He's going to creep in. The Bible said in Corinthians that, listen, that the devil has his ministers, Cameron, and they are ministers of righteousness. That means they carry a Bible and they stand up and they say things that are from the Bible, but they're ministers of Satan because of their lives and where they terse and twist and turn little things and cause people to creep into things and mess people's lives up. But if you and I aren't careful, listen to me, we're going to be in this world today that we're living in. There's things that can creep in on us, creep in on our lives. I don't care how saved that we are. Listen, I don't care how sanctified that we are. I don't care how much we attend church on Wednesday night or Sunday school, how much we pray. If you aren't careful, we're very, very prone in 2023 and into 2024 to let things creep or slide or sneak into our lives. You say, well, I would never let anything creep in on me, or I would never do this, or I would never do that. Listen, don't catch yourself saying stuff like that. Say, by the grace of God, there go I. By the grace of God, I'd be on drugs. By the grace of God, I'd be a drunk. By the grace of God, my life would be messed up. Always give glory to God while you are the way that you are. Never give glory to yourself or anybody else. Give glory to God that we're here on a Wednesday night. Give glory to God you got a desire to be in the house of God. Give glory to God that He's put that in you to be where you are tonight and what He's done in your life. But if you aren't careful, listen, there are things in our life that'll just creep right in. Listen to me, when you got saved, you got saved. The Spirit got saved. God moved inside of you. Listen, and woke you up and opened your eyes up to a whole different world. And when you walked out of that church, listen, you felt a burden lifted off of you. Or when you come out of that baptismal hole, man, you felt a burden lifted off of you, didn't you? You felt, wow, I'm saved by God's grace. And you was happy about it. But guess what happened? You went home and changed your clothes. And you looked in the mirror and the same old man and the same old woman that went down there that God saved is a staring right back at you in the mirror. And every day we walk, whether you've been saved for 1 hour or 100 years, we carry something around with us. And if you and I ain't careful, this old flesh nature that we have, this old wayward nature, brother, it'll creep right on in and it'll damage us. us, listen, we have to be very wary of that. That's why Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily. He put it on the cross, spiritually speaking, daily. Because this flesh nature that you and I have will creep up on us. And listen, when Jesus dealt with Simon Peter, he called him Simon. Listen, that was the name he had at birth. That was his natural name. But when Simon said, he said, well, who do men say that I am? Simon said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say to him? He said, Simon of Arjona, Simon, the name that your daddy gave you, your natural birth name, that you was born in this world, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, and flesh and blood didn't reveal Christ unto you. The Spirit of God revealed Christ to you. That's how you were saved. He said, now listen to me. Your name no longer is going to be Simon, but it's going to be Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But in his life, listen to me, he wasn't always called Peter. Sometimes Jesus called him Simon. When was that, preacher? When he was right there by the fire, Jesus said, Simon, before the cock crows thrice, you're going to deny me, because your flesh is going to take over. When he pulled his sword out, brother, and cut the high priest's ear off, what did he call him? He called him Simon, because that old wayward nature crept up on him. But what did he say? He told the woman to tell the disciples and Peter. When Peter had messed up and had ran off thinking, I'm done for, he didn't call him Simon then. He called him Peter because he wanted to restore him and get him to where he needed to be with the Lord. Hey, listen, and the Lord's got a little name for us too that we're going to have someday in heaven. It's going to be a special name just for us, that's just going to know us and God. Hey, listen to me. But if you're not careful right now, we can let this old nature creep back in on us. If we ain't careful, listen, we can let this old wayward nature, it don't want to do the things of God. This nature don't want to pray. If you need a good sleeping pill, just read the Bible or listen to the Bible. I started putting the Bible in my ears, puts me to sleep just like that. Hey, listen to me. Listen, do anything for God and watch how your flesh will fight against you. Watch how your flesh fights against you when you try to get a prayer list, when you try to get faithful to God, when you try to listen to God's word or do anything for God. This nature fights against it, don't it? Amen. But we got a nature about us. Paul said this, I say this all the time. This right here is some of the most encouraging scripture in the Bible to me. Because the greatest Christian outside, you don't compare Paul to Christ. Christ is in a category all by himself. But as far as men goes and women goes, you ain't going to get no better than the Apostle Paul. Wrote 14 books of the New Testament. He writes this scripture, some of the most encouraging scripture to me. Listen, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. That encourages me. But this right here encourages me that he wrote in Romans chapter 7. He said, for I know that in me, here's what he says, buddy, that is in my flesh dwelleth what? No good things. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He said, this. I said, I don't set out to do that, but I end up doing that. You ever do that? You ever say, Lord, today, you're praying in the morning. You get ready to go out the door. And you say, Lord, today, I'm not going to do this. Today, Lord, I'm going to do this and that and the other. And Lord, I'm going to do it now. Lord, I'm not going to get carried away with my temper. Lord, I'm not going to get carried away with my gossiping mouth. Lord, I'm not going to get carried away talking about somebody. And by 10 o'clock in the morning, you find yourself already failed in every area. Has that happened to anybody? That's just flesh nature. He says, now that, if I do, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, I find then a law, Paul says, that when I do good, what? Evil is present with me. Amen. Yeah. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He said, but I see another law. He said, Paul said, there's something working in me. He said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man, he says, that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death?
I like this. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, so with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Here's what he's saying right here. He's saying, I'm saved and sanctified. I'm serving God and I'm submitted to God, Brett. He said, but I find in me something called no wayward nature. It was so much so when I went down and wanted to go down, I wouldn't even take Mark with me. And me and old Barnabas fell out because I didn't want to take old Mark with me. And then I went on down there in the book of Acts. He said, I went in there and I'm preaching that you ain't got to be circumcised. And I'm preaching that you ain't got to shave your head. And I went right on in there to please them old Jews and shave my head. And circumcised Timothy went after my flesh. And it got him in trouble there, didn't it? You know what I find in me? I find when I go to do good that my old nature wants to creep in. I want to rob God of glory, don't you? We want to rob God of glory. Or we want to compare ourselves with somebody else and say, well, I'm better than him or I'm better than her. Hey, listen to me. It's robbing God of glory. But you know what? We find this nature that robs against us. And we wake up one morning and you say, how I got this? It's because it just creeps on in on us, don't it? It creeps on in on us. So our wicked old nature that we got, Randall, it'll creep in. That's why Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. That's why he said that. You know how you and I need to just get this flesh a lot of times crucified? It's been in the house of God, hearing the preaching of God, and taking it in, listen to me, and getting that old nature under subjection and saying, Lord, that's where I'm at right now in my life. This old nature is creeping in on me, and it's causing me problems. There's an old turtle, Bubby, down in South Florida called the alligator snapping turtle. It's about 200 pounds. And you know what it does? It lays there on the bottom, Ricky, of the water there, and its tongue sticks out, and it flaps its little tongue like this. And its little tongue, Bubby, looks like a little worm. And it lays there real still. And fish go down and think that's a worm. And it eats them up. It is so strong, listen, that sometimes it'll even eat a small alligator. That's why I call the alligator snapper turtle. That's the way sin works. That's where our nature is. It looks so good until we get trapped in the jaws of it, brother. And then it's got a hold of us. We got to watch now. Our old wayward nature, don't we, man? You know something else that creeps in on us? Now here's the hardest part about us. Our thoughts. Our wicked thoughts creep in. And the devil is so deceptive. That's where the battle is in 2023. We don't got to worry about soldiers coming in here and chaining the doors down and carrying you and I out of here and saying you all can't preach the Bible. Y'all can't sing. Y'all can't gather in here and have peaceful assembly and worship God. We ain't worrying about that. You know what our biggest issue is in 2023? Right between our ears is the biggest issue. Mental battles, emotional battles, thoughts, listen, they get fired to us. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 6:16, above all, now this is what he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to what? Quench the fiery darts of the wicked. What's them fiery darts? The devil's going to shoot them fiery darts all the time. Them fiery thoughts into our mind. And then that Roman shield that Paul's talking about was a big old shield that went down from your feet all the way up to your chin. That soldier would hold out like that. And it would be wrapped up in some kind of heavy leather and dipped in water. Because the enemy a lot of times would shoot a fiery dart, a fiery arrow into that shield and catch those shields on fire. And those soldiers would have their shields together. It would cause a big old fire on the front line and just burn up a lot of soldiers. So he says, quench the fiery darts of the devil. Those soldiers would dip that and soak that shield in water. That leather would get soaked. So when they fired those darts or fired those arrows at those shields, that soldier's shield would catch that arrow and it would extinguish that flame and that soldier and everybody around him would not get hurt. And Paul said, above all now, take the shield of faith. That way you can quench the fiery darts of the devil. That's why it's so important that we have the shield of faith up. And faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I want more faith. Well, you got to hear the Word of God. I want more faith. Well, you got to be instructed in the things of God. That way when the devil shoots those darts, that you ain't no good, that you're dumb, that everybody's talking about you, that you ain't saved, and all these things that the devil shoots in at you, that you got a dart. You got the shield up, brother. You can catch that shield and quote that scripture right back at that devil and say, Lord, cast down that thought. That shouldn't be in my mind against my brother or against my sister. That's not unifying the body of Christ. That's not uplifting and glorifying God. If we're full of faith, brother, and have the shield of faith up, we'll catch that stuff. The shield of faith will catch that. And it distinguish that fiery dart, amen. We got to watch it. Because them wicked thoughts, brother, they can be so deceptive. And you got to watch how you think. Scripture's got a whole lot about what you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh, so is he. You think bad all time, you'll feel bad all time. You think dirty all time, you'll be dirty all time. Amen. Every what you're thinking gets a hold in your heart, brother. It stirs up your emotions and your hot mind gets wrong and your heart gets wrong. Then what happens to you? When your head ain't right, your heart ain't right, it comes out in your hand eventually, don't it? It just happens that way. Nobody just wakes up one day and just goes out and does something. It all started in the mind. It all started with a thought that they dwelled on and Satan threw the fire on it and fueled it up. And next thing you know, they're doing something stupid out here and you're saying, man, what happened to them? What happened to them? The devil shot thoughts in their mind and deceived them there and crept in unaware, amen. Y'all know that. We've been here about 10 years. We got people that once sat here, faithful here, and they got out. And the devil starts shooting darts. Amen. And the nature pulls in. The nature's pulling anyway, whether you're here praying, not, your nature's going to pull anyway. So the devil's using that nature. He's creeping in on you. He just don't get you in here one day and get you messed up the next. It don't never work that way, dear people. It's a process. He's too smart for that. He starts shooting them thoughts. You start thinking about them thoughts. And the devil can't read your mind. He don't know everything you say. But he watches you pretty good. And he's got his old minions watching you. And he knows if this is over here saying that or doing that, somehow or another he'll direct your nature and your thoughts to that person, won't he? Well, ain't that how the devil works? And he just slides right in. Creeps right in, brother. And listen, the next thing you know, the life is destroyed. You're too embarrassed to go to church. You're too embarrassed to get things right. Your life spirals out of control. And it's a mess. When God says, get a hold of that stuff before it tears you up, get a hold of that stuff. Put up that shield of faith. Be where you're supposed to be so you grow in the faith and the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We got to be careful. Brothers and sisters, we got to be careful. Because we got a wayward nature, brother, and always a battling. Always a battling. And can do so much damage. We got to watch now, Brother Jason, because them wicked thoughts now can just deceive us so much. Then there's something else that the devil creeps into. I believe it's killed more people. I believe it's killed more homes and alcohol and drugs. I believe it's killed more churches. I believe it's killed more communities. It's found in Hebrews 12. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, you'll fall down. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. He says, and thereby many be defiled. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We got to watch for bitterness that'll defile us. Oh yeah, he says the root. He don't say roots. He says the root. Because when the root is there, it's just a single one little issue below the surface. And a root, listen, if you find the root of something and you dig it up real fast and get rid of it, it'll cause a whole lot less damage down the road. One, if you got a bunch of water weeds out here, some poison ivy, you find the root where the single thing goes, brother, you get the root out there, you ain't got a problem with that because you took care of the root. But you and I got to watch out, listen, for bitterness to creep into our life and to get sideways. And listen, and Jesus said this. Jesus said, offenses will come. He said, but woe unto the man who the offense comes. Listen, in this world, it's impossible to live. If you lived on an island all by yourself, you'd offend yourself. It's like that story of a man that lived on an island. They come there and visit him. They said, what's that building? He said, that's my house. They said, what's that building? He said, that's my bathroom. They said, what's that building? He said, that's my church. He said, what's that building? He said, that's my other church. I fell out with myself on this church, so now I'm going to that church. That's the way we are, ain't it? And you and I got to be careful, because in this life, we're involved in a lot of different relationships. We're involved in a lot of different things with people. And people, listen, can get us in a way where we can get bitter in our life. Or problems can fly at us in a way that we can get us bitter in our life. Or maybe your position in life. Some people were just born, a brother, in poverty. Or some people are just born in a bad situation. And listen, then the devil gets on that and uses that and tries to get people bitter in their life. And that bitterness goes up and the leaves of that come out. And the leaves of that come out in anger. And the leaves of that come out in drunkenness and drug abuse and all these other things. When all the while we got to watch because their bitterness will creep on us and defile us up. You ever seen somebody, they're so bitter, and it's just crept in on them. They used to be full of joy, but now they're just so bitter. And it's like Naomi in the book of Ruth. God love her heart. Her old man made a bad decision. Elimelech took them out, took the family out of Bethlehem because it got dry. He got down there and died. His boys married two Moabitess women. Both them end up dying. Had two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. And Orpah said, you know what? I love you. It's been a good ride, Mama. I'm staying here with the Moabites. Ruth went back with her. She said, here I've come back. Boy, God's dealt harshly with me. She said, don't even call me Naomi no more, which means beautiful. It's what Naomi means. She said, don't even call me that no more. She says, call me Mara, which means bitter. Boy, ain't that sad to see people that's made mistakes in life and instead of just getting things right with God and repenting and saying, Lord, I've messed up here and let God restore the years that the locusts have eaten up or let God take care of that issue, Brother Jason, whatever it may be in their life that, listen, God, the devil just devil gets a hold of that nature and the devil gets a hold of them thoughts that they got and shoots that in there and the devil develops that and waters that root and that bitterness goes up in them, brother, and ends up defiling them. Then he passes that spirit on down to their children and pass that children, the spirit on down to their grandchildren and you get generations of people, listen to me, that are just bitterness when all the while it started with one little old root and Cameron, that root grows down there in the darkness where nobody can see it. And listen, God's got to get down there with the water of the word and the spirit of God and cut away at that thing. And if you and I ain't careful, and I mean every one of us are human and it's prone to all of us, we can let things like that creep into our life. And it'll make us miserable and everybody miserable all around us. And we'll be of no use to our family and we'll be of no use to God. Amen. Amen. And everybody can be bitter about something. Everybody can. But these are little things that creeps in. You see how it works? It starts with our nature, our wayward nature. And a wayward nature gets out here and it can be real damaging. And then them wicked thoughts, Ricky, can be very deceitful. Then that bitterness, that old, watch out for that old world, that old, watch out for that bitterness that can just defile us up, mess us up. And then when all that's done, we end up like can end up like Lot. We can end up worldly because the worldly seems so desirable. It does, don't it? It just seems so desirable, the things of this world. I mean, the things of this world, we've got a generation now of people and a generation of churches. They want their church, and they want to conform their worship. They want to conform their church to everything that appeals to the worldly people, appeals to the sinner's nature. Listen, God ain't set up that way, dear people. Listen, He wants us to be far from what the world wants and what the world has. But you know what happened? The Bible says in 2 Peter, in chapter 2, says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes." condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now here's what God says. Now last time we seen Lot in the scriptures, he's committing incest with his two daughters drunk in a cave. And delivered just Lot. Just means righteous. Just means he's right with God. And delivered just Lot. But here's what it says. Vexed or pressed. What that means, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The conversation means lifestyle. That means he was oppressed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. For that righteous man, God says, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds in seeing and hearing. If you work out in the public or you work with people, you're going to see and you're going to hear things. It's going to vex you. It's going to oppress you. It's going to mess you up every day, ain't it? The Bible says day to day. From one day to the next, he's hearing this trash at the gate. From one day to the next, he's seeing all this mess going on in Sodom. From one day to the next on your job, you're hearing about this trash and you're hearing, you're seeing this or you're hearing that. And it vexed, it oppressed his righteous soul because he had no Bible in that land. He had no church in that land. He was off on an island all to himself. But listen, how did he get there in the first place? He should have never even been in that shape where he was at in the first place. But it just appeared so desirable to him that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't go to Sodom at first, Bubby. He just got in a direction towards Sodom. And just like sin is, brother, and just like the world is, if you set yourself in that direction, eventually it's going to pull you in. I don't care. He was with Father Abraham, who was a friend of God. God's got very few friends mentioned in the Bible, but he was with Abraham there. And he got away from Abraham and got turned to the world. And he ended up in a mess in his life. And worldliness come in because it was so desirable. And he lost his family. And he lost his testimony. And he died in that shape. I'll tell you what, it's a sad, sad day. Listen, but the world will creep in on you now. The way the world sees things. The way the world hears things. The way they do, listen to me. You and I that are Christians, we're to be salt and light in this world. We're not to be partakers of the things that they do on the office, that other people say and do. And everybody says, I'm a Christian in Eastern Kentucky. Everybody says, I know God in Eastern Kentucky. Well, if that was the case, listen to me, we'd never have to lock our homes around here. And we could go on the gas station up here at night and be safe and not have to pack a gun half the place that we go. But there's evident fact one thing, that this world is vexing your soul from day to day to day. But you and I as a Christian, we got to know these things, Ricky, that they're going to creep in on us. And they seem so desirable. And the devil paints a good picture all at first, but it'll mess you up in the end, won't it, amen? It'll creep up in on you. Because you got this nature. That's why God has so much mercy on us. Because he knows we pack his nature around with us every day. And he knows that your mind ain't saved. And he knows the devil throwing thoughts at you all day long. That's why he's got so much mercy on us. And he knows that these things the world does, the devil does, it's just so appealing to us. And it's so desirable. And God knows that people in your families are going to offend us. Husbands and wives are going to offend each other. Problems are going to come. Sickness is going to come. And God knows the devil's going to use all that stuff to try to get a bitter root in our own. That's why God has so much mercy and long-suffering with us. And God's given us the remedy right here, brother. God calls a preacher now. Listen, God goes and gets him and calls him. And God puts it in his heart to bring forth the message. And God puts it in your heart to come and listen. And God says, I'm going to try to help you here. If you have an ear to hear now, if you have an ear to hear what I'm saying, I'll try to give you some help. And then the 16th chapter, in the 16th verse of the 3rd chapter, I like this. He says, Cameron, all scripture now is given by what? Inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And God says, I've got the remedy for the perilous times. It's the lovely, infallible, inerrant, inexhaustible, indestructible Word of God. Amen. I've got it for you. I've got instruction for you. I've got doctrine for you, he says right here. Ever how you believe is ever how you behave. Amen. That's doctrine. If you believe something, it's going to affect your behavior. That's doctrine. Reproof is things ain't right. God says, I got the reproof for you. I help you get it right. God says, I got your instruction in righteousness. I'll show you how to raise children. I'll show you how to deal with conflicts. I'll show you how the works of the devil is. I'll show you how to face all these trials that are coming your way in instruction in righteousness. God says, I'll give it to you right here. Because perilous times are coming. And you and I in 2023 got to watch the creeps. We got to watch these creeps that sneak in on us in 2023. Because they'll sneak in on you. Oh, yeah. And this time next year, if the Lord tarries is coming, if you ain't careful and I ain't careful, a creep can sneak in and pull us away. Oh, yeah, we can get carried away in that. We got to watch for these creeps, don't we, in our lives. Just stand tonight. Drew, get us a song.